Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up Cointel Pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up Cointel Pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Boys that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, nbpp.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
So now, I don't want to take you into a crazy
Yo, Black Power, Black Power. The audio started a little early. We want to give you a preference as to who we are about to play tonight. We are going to hear from Dr. Sebi, and he's going to, the late, great Dr. Sebi, may he rest in peace. Of course, you are listening to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense Nightly Broadcast. But on tonight, as we are doing our Tuesday night political education, we will feature the late, great Dr. Sebi. Let's get it started.
So now, I don't want to take you into a crazy maze of a bunch of words that I am deploying to you. I want to make sense because you make sense. We all make sense. Why are we sick? And where is the violation? Oh, I want to say this before we get into the subject, that the reason for the violation, and the violation didn't come to me until I was about 50 years of age. But I was born here in Honduras, in Ilanga, a little village with 7 houses. And that little boy is going to grow up in that village until the age of 8. And you mean to tell me that from that position, which the house in which I was born was ground, it was the dirt. We didn't have any ceramic or wood. Mama didn't have that. Mama had the dirt floor. It was always clean. So from that level of being born in Ilanga, Honduras, to have made this leap into the understanding of things, that I would arrive at deploying these words to you about health. The boy never been to school. The boy didn't read any books. I was least of the candidate that could think about occupying a position that could be credible. Well, guess what? Nature designs and decides that. The violation, you're going to see it. You see, I said we're going to travel on this journey. It's a beautiful journey. It's a beautiful path. It's peaceful because it brings understanding. Look carefully about the way the African live in the jungles. Look at the way the Inca live in the desert of Nazca. Look at the way the Maya lived in Central America. And then we go to the Toltecs and the Olmecs in Mexico. Then we go to the Cheyenne and the Sioux, those American Indians. Carefully, we're going to begin with that. The African, the Inca from South America, the Maya Central America, the Toltecs and the Olmecs from Mexico, and the American brothers and sisters, natives. You know what we are called by certain, on certain levels of understanding? We are called the organic family. The organic family? All families are organic, not so. I was in Nazca, Peru, which I travel once in a while. I love Peru. I've been going to Peru since 1955. And I enjoy going to Peru like I enjoy going to Mexico. It was in Peru that I became aware of the organic family through a Peruvian Inca descendant. He said, "Black man, are you aware or do you have any idea what you represent?" I said, "No, Paul." He said, "Well, we have something in common. We are a member of the organic family." What do you mean by that? You see, the organic family is exactly what we say it is. Organic. No waste. We do not produce waste. Everything about us is recyclable. And this is why we didn't have any toilets. Oh God, what is this? This man is showing me something that I have never before heard. We didn't have any toilets. I said, "No, we don't have any toilets." We didn't need that. Remember, what we ate was products that are considered native. No starch, no uric acid, no blood. No blood, no starch. Uric acid, blood. Carbonic acid, starch. You see, when we ate electric food. That's all we had in our environment. The organic family only had electric food as part of their diet. So they ate very little and infrequent. It wasn't necessary to eat three times a day with plates full of tanya, dashin, cassava, and blood. Not to mention the rice, which is starch, glycerinic acid. No, we didn't have that. The organic family only ate electric food. So when he passed his feces, he could pass his feces in his hands and put it back in the soil. But the family, he said, that lived outside of that cosmic arrangement, you don't want to be around when you use the bathroom. It's something that is horrible. Imagine what goes on inside if what you smell is so unpleasant. What goes on inside? So the organic family, being that it was electric food, their diet, there was no waste. This was recyclable. Didn't need a toilet. Do you understand, black man, what I'm saying to you? You remember Paul? I said, of course. And I love it. The organic family was never diseased. Why? It was impossible. It was impossible because we live within the arrangement, the procession of life. I'm not an anchor. And there are certain things that are indigenous to the anchor. I am not a Sioux or a Cheyenne. I am not a Toltec. I'm not a Maya. But I am an African. And there is a connection with the family. So, I was compelled to direct my thought patterns, my vision, towards the continent. I am an African. And what does that mean? It means that when creation designed the African, there was a food that was designed for that African. And if you believe that this is an untrue, well then, let us take the diet of the African and give it to the man that lives in the ice, the Inuits. No, he was designed to eat whale and fish. We were designed to eat something green. But nonetheless, it was compatible with our genetic predisposition. So now we come to why we are sick. The African had a food. The Eskimo had a food. The Inca had a food that you do not find in Africa know what is in Africa you find in Peru. But what he needed was in Peru. And what I needed was in Africa. If I ever make the mistake and select a component or a thought from another gene predisposition or another geography, I'm only saying, hey, fellas, I am blind. I need to go to Kathmandu. I need to go to Nepal. I need to go to India. Or I need to go to Europe. And what you going there for? You see, I'm blind. I am totally lost. And being that I am lost, I don't know what is what and where to go. You see? We are blind. And we show it. We show it. I have friends that have books written by scholars from all over the world, from all religious structures. Scholars. Me, I'm too ignorant for that. You see, I was spared. I didn't go to school. So the work of a scholar has no place in my environment. Why? Because what scholar do you know that has written a paper or a book that addresses gene food consistency? Nobody. And if we gonna violate that cosmic arrangement, all else is useless. It doesn't matter. You're violating. You are stressed. What do you mean? Yeah, there is such thing as African food. And it isn't rice and beans and carrots, cows, chicken and hogs, lamb or goats. No, it isn't rice and beans. We didn't have that. Those things were brought to us. These are the things that makes us sick. The violation was done over a period of years. The African has been misled. Who do we African people point our fingers to say you are responsible? We don't know, but we know this, that we have been violated from a cellular structure. We've been violated that is causing pain and anxiety today among us. Stress so much that we blow our own brains out and offend others in many different ways and levels. I am manic, but I contain it with my suit, my tie, and my cup of coffee, not to mention my watch and my Mercedes. But one day, very soon, the doctors would say, hey man, you got something on you, in you, about you. And what is that, doc? It is cancer. Cancer? Well, my ancestors didn't have cancer. It was unknown. Why do I have cancer? Well, it's a virus. And what do you have? The other one has AIDS. That's a virus. The other one, herpes, that's a virus. Everything happened to be a virus, a germ, or a bacteria. How do we know that? We don't know that. among all the writers in the black community in the diaspora. None of them paid attention to what we should have been paying attention to, our health, that would privilege me, would help me to love you and each other's. And
whether in the liver, whether in the lungs, whether anywhere in the body. So that's all we do, is to cleanse the system and to allow the system to be rebuilt. But in the allopathic philosophy, which is the European medicine, it is to do what? Make pills out of inorganic substance and give you, but the cause of disease is still in you. So you see, isn't that difficult? But it is difficult for them. And now it makes it even more difficult because the whole society, the whole American government depends on those chemical laboratories for huge amount of money.
Right.
And a black people is going to come and invent medicine from herbs, deprive them of all those billions. Now you know it takes more than a nerve to stand up against a crime and take such a position.
That's right.
But it is necessary. Because my life was at stake. Remember, I was impotent. I was diabetic. I was asthmatic. I was hypertensive. And I was obese. I went to all the doctors. Now what happened? He was a book reader. That's what happened. You read books. See, life doesn't come out of a book. A book is a violation of life. Just to create a book, you have to cut trees down. There's a violation.
All right.
Have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. If Sebi, who was arrested a day before I was appointed to testify in the course of the United States, downtown Brooklyn, Supreme Court, the attorney general sent a message to me and said, if I take a misdemeanor, that he would drop all charges. What was he saying to you? Not to me, but to you. He didn't give a damn about you.
That's right.
If I had done that, you wouldn't hear my mouth today. I said, no, this is fisticuffs, lose, win or lose. Because my people are at stake, my race, myself, my being, my family. And I'm supposed to take that. That is like me going to a Caucasian and ask them to stop being Caucasian. That's an imposition. Or to have the Caucasian race to implement in their world things that belong to our world. That's an imposition. That's a violation. You respect. We learn to be obedient. A zebra does not ask a horada, how come you don't have stripes? Nature made him with stripes. It did not make a horada with stripes. But they're both equitable. See, we have to begin to understand what it is to be different, not better, not worse, not superior, not inferior, because you're not inferior to anyone. We just happen to play a unique role, a role that I will explain right now. A bird or plant, you go to get what mineral?
Iron.
You see? Iron. Sure. Meaning that the predominant mineral is iron. But then we go to the dandelion. Or just take the shave grass. Shave grass. What'd you go to that for? Calcium. It's coded to ingest calcium. So the black race is coded the same way, like the plants. Look at the eagle. It eats meat. Not the quetzal. It doesn't eat meat. It eats seeds because it's coded. The flower of the burdock is what? Red, purple, and white. But that of the dandelion is what? You see? But which one is better? They both serve their purpose. So what is this thing about? I have to measure up to a white man. Man, I've got to measure up to nature.
Right.
I'm better. Because right now, we happen to have the ingredients that would maintain harmony and peace on the planet. The black race. we hear that the Japanese have the best cars, right? They make the best cars and the best cameras. Well, what do we make? We make the best medicine in the world. The black race again. You see? When we thought that we had nothing to offer, we have the best medicine. We cure AIDS. So who does the world have to depend on now to cure the diseases? The black race. But if you sit in the chair and separate me from you and say that man over there say the cure AIDS, then you know what you just did? Condemn yourself. You have just condemned yourself because I'm you. But look what it would do if we all were to come together and say, well, hold it there now. Since these people, Arusha, is curing AIDS, is it our duty? Is it our duty to support that entity? Not me. You're not supporting me. Because hey, I have a piece of land in Honduras that bears you have seen. All I have to do is go sit down on it and drink the water and plant my stuff and sit there. You can't hurt me. But if you negate this entity today and walk up with criticisms, just remember that the criticism is not on us, it's on you. Because there are many people in this, I'm going to show you something. Annette told me one day of a lady here in Harlem that was very sick. And I went to see her somewhere in Harlem. She's in a bed, can't get up. I gave her the compounds. It took me $25 in the cab to get there, $25 back, or $20 back, which was 40. And my compound, she said to me, how much I owe you? I said, you owe me $250. She said, well, I'm on a fixed income. All I have is $5. I said, I know you're right, but I don't want your $5 because you need that $5 more than me. But how many of these ladies are in Harlem?
All right.
Yeah. Are we going to render them useless like the Caucasian has done? All they need is life again, you know. And they need our service. Because the cheese and the chemicals are not going to help those people.
Right.
They are our responsibility. Those of us that are healthy, they are our responsibility. You understand? Because when we get old, we're going to need you too.
Right.
We're going to need each other. So how do we rectify this? So I didn't come here to talk about AIDS, because you see how quick we talk about it? How do you cure AIDS? You see what I'm talking about? It took 2 minutes for at the call of figures. 2 minutes. But NYU has libraries bigger than the building that I occupy to cure AIDS out of. Books on medicine that would, look, if you would fill this room. And it's still doing research, but in 2 minutes here, we, the son of those African people. African people. I hate to call them that, because I don't know if they were that, but our parents from that continent, that they called Africa.
Right.
We are their children. So if with 400 years of eating meat, and eating cheese, and eating salt, we are able to cure AIDS after 400 years of violation? I mean, look, we have got to be some kind of monsters, isn't it? So we are doing that, the black race. So we have to get back on the business of taking care of ourselves the way we always have. We always did. Nobody could take care of us better than we can. Who could do that? Why would we even put that responsibility on someone else? Why would we even entertain that? I mean, that's a violation. Look at what you're doing. Look at what you are doing. Expecting the Caucasian to help you in your health state? Like these days I'm talking about in Harlem who are sick, who need our help and don't have any money? So how do we rectify that? How do we do that? It's only me and my wife, Annette and Lori and a few others, Marjorie and Judy and a few more, just a few people have taken on the whole weight of this thing. We made efforts, you know. We made efforts to come to you. But those of us who are representing the white entity deprives you of hearing what I have to say. Like, for instance, I was in Harlem, and it was Dr. Prince and Dr. Justice. And they were talking about something that really didn't make sense. They was talking how they were going to make it easier for the AIDS patient to die. You know what I did? I just couldn't take that, because that's when my arrogance comes out. I came up and I said, ladies and gentlemen, just stop it. I cure AIDS. Everybody did this. And yes, and so and so and so and so. I said, oh no. Is this really serious? Are you really serious? I just told these brothers and this sister that at your age. And they write off like nothing was said. After the case was won in the Supreme Court, Dr. Justice called. Dr. Prince, she called. How I was supposed to feel after what she did? You mean to tell me that the white man had to legitimize what is our ancestor for you to accept it? Is really that? I mean, wait, hold it now. If it's really that, then I'm in trouble. At least I'm yawning. How many are yawning with me? I'm just yawning. I'm not awake yet. Because there's a lot of things I need to do. And there's a lot of things I don't know. But at least the little that we at the Usha family have developed and still developing has complemented a few blind folks who were seeing leukemia, sickle cell who doesn't have it anymore, lupus. Doesn't that deserve your support? So today is not about how we cure AIDS, because black folks always knew that. I met some of you in Louisiana and in Memphis, Tennessee, that know a million things more than I know, but they're just scared. You know, fear? Fear stops you at the door. You would not open that door. You see? And we found at the Usha Institute, the brothers of us who are part of members of it, found that the sisters are the one that really are the one with the tenacity. The sisters, the woman. Well, that's understood. I am the only male that is in the operation of this institute. I am the only male. They make the stuff. They direct the institute. Since I'm talking, and I'm sick of talking, because after you talk, and you talk about talking, then what? You know, I never like, look, I'm going to tell you the truth, and this is the God in heaven truth. I was never gravitated towards men like the war. Never. I would never deal with that. But men like George Washington Carver, yeah, that's the aspect. Men like Booker T. Washington, men like Gandhi, that's who I respect. About the other talkers and book readers, I mean, we had enough of that, right?
That's right.
I mean, I've been there for 35 years, and we have read all the books there is to read, but we still, after we read the book, we put the book on the shelf. But now we have some work to do, and the work that needs to be done is not in those books. Not one of them. They cheated us, they taught. I know I didn't spend my money. Because like I said, I didn't go to school and I don't read books. See, it costs too much money to occupy myself and my time with this stuff that didn't make sense. I have to do something. We have to do something. We have to heal ourselves. You don't get that in a book. Because if the healing that I'm doing was in a book, or the healing that the Usha Institute have arrived at now was in a book, wouldn't you have the book too? Well, you have the book. I mean, if it was in a book, I'd have to say, but go buy such and such a book. So it came out of what? A history, a people, a gene. Not a book. Not a book. It came out of you, our mom. You understand? Our mom, our mother. And we're going to give that respect. So we hope that when you leave from here this evening, you would make it very simple to everyone else. What did Dr. Sandy talk about? He said that disease is removing mucus from the system.
Well, that's all he said, yeah? That's all he said.
Now, you see, now we've down to basic, isn't it? And after we heal ourselves, all those things that we want to claim we are, that we want to exchange with one another, such as, I'm spiritual, who is endowed, but drinking carrot juice and eating pork chops. Or eating tofu. Tofu is worse than pork. Tofu is 100 times worse than pork. It's going to tear your membranes down immediately. Woman get vaginal discharge immediately. If you don't believe me, go eat some.
Go eat it!
You see? We need you. We need you. And you need us. Like, you know how we felt when the African government of Uganda came and sit with us? I mean, that was like, wow. That is where you really feel your usefulness, isn't it? That you're useful to your family. You're not in the position of healing because it is something that you want to relish on. Because most people tell me that some people envy me. Well, I wish that I could find someone that I envy. In fact, I do envy a man. He's in St. Croix. He does know how to read and write, and he's very healthy. I wish that I didn't know how to read and write, because it said that I was less impregnated, isn't it? I was less molested. This man does not know how to read and write. And he don't even, when he receive a letter, he give it to someone. You want to read that for me? Tell me what it says. And he's not embarrassed. He's using you to read the garbage. Well, if it's garbage, it has to be read. So today, the lecture was not really on AIDS, wasn't it? It was showing where we are as a people. Whether we're Muslims, whether we're Christian, whether we're Buddhist, whether we're Chinto, we brothers and sisters came from the same gene of Africa, isn't it?
Right.
So we have to go back, and now we have the greatest gift. Remember what the prophecy said? That Joseph was taken to Egypt as a slave, and then he became the king? Well, I don't know if we want to be kings, isn't it? What does a king do anyway? Sit on a throne. I often wonder, when did it become necessary in the African chronology that we were supposed to be kings? You know, we hear people say, oh, well, we were kings of Queens. But just a minute, just stop it. Here is a bunch of people made by nature naked in the forest. As he said, naked, not natural, but without no clothes. The bars are hanging, and he's a king. Now, what is it that this king is going to do for us that we could not do for ourselves? So what in the hell are we talking about? The word king, that's not even black. That came out of Europe, isn't it? Ah, but we go around saying that we were kings and queens. What does a king do? Where was useful? A king. At least as a healer, if we all become healers in here today, then we could all march back to Africa and say, just go heal mother. And get out of it. I recently was talked to by two sisters about a king from Ashanti that came, and they said that they wanted me to come and see the king. I said, you want me to leave my office to go see this king? The man is bloated up. He's sick. I could look and tell his eyes were very puffy. He had diabetes. He was loaded with fluid. I said, that man, the only way he'd be healed by me is he'd crawl up these steps. You see, kings. I left from Brooklyn to see the lady in the bed. But she was no queen. She was just like me. The underdog. Kings, they crawl. Because they have not had any usefulness, not to you. All you could do is talk about them. Say we have a stool, a golden stool, and he sits on it. A king now. Hey, king. Hey, he's the king. Say, he is the king. Now, say, what are you going to do? Well, I just have to sit on the throne and be a king. That's all I have to do, be a king. But what's the king? Where is the usefulness of a king? Does he provide you with food and shelter? No. He just sits on the throne. He's a king. How did he get that? How we ask those questions. Just begin to ask those questions.
Ask our anthropologists and ask, go back and ask the historians. How come they didn't talk about the food that we were supposed to be eating? How come you talk about what they were doing? How does he know that? Black people are not supposed to do anything but waking up and going to sleep. So that's all was needed to be done, wake up and go to sleep. Our bodies wasn't made to work. I mean, you, many of you with your PhD degrees in your pockets would like to be in a situation where you only wake up, bathe yourself, and eat fresh fruit from a tree, and go back to sleep. That's a dream. And you're going to be suited down where your neck is feeling only your face. And this is supposed to be what? An advancement from that position? But look at the state of our bodies now. We all are sick in the body. We do not have even the capacity to love. That only comes with health. When we are healthy, now we could embrace. Right?
That's right.
So we're going to heal each other now. Today was about healing, not with herbs alone, because healing is encompassing everything about the individual. I mean, we need love. We need all the love that we could muster up. I know how nice it is because I make myself available for it. Because it's nice. It's nice to be loved. Well, if it is nice to be loved, how do you think the other person feels? Why not give him that? It makes you feel good. Maybe one day when you give him a little bit now, he may come back and return that to you tomorrow.
That's right.
But again, to be in the state of wanting to love or having the capacity to love, we have to be healthy. So, to begin with, as black people, we have to abstain from the food that we have been conditioned to eat. Stop as much of it right now. I was the recipient of some that you were not. I ate cassava, some that the African people eat. Your American brothers and sisters who were born here don't know what cassava is. No, you don't know. It has arsenic. Mm-hmm. It's very starchy. It would affect your brain immediately. When I was a child, 15, I had very violent headaches. It meant that a tumor was growing in my head. And when I began to cramp, I felt the same headache telling me he was leaving. All of us have that tumor. Every black person in this room has that tumor, if you have not cleansed. Don't even be scared. It's the truth. You have a tumor in your brain, and they were quite aware of it. This is what prevented us from coming together. This is what prevented us from supporting Usha. I mean, Usha did not come to do something that was needed. Usha is curing AIDS. Diabetes and lupus and blindness and all the other diseases. Isn't that what we need?
Yes.
Isn't that what we need to see our grandmothers healthy and strong again?
Yes.
So what prevents the community from embracing and helping Usha? What? That tumor. Where Annette and I went to New Orleans and these white people treat us with royalty. Like royalty, I mean. They recognized what we had because she saw him in a Tony Brown journal. But
it's an honor for me today, and I'm glad that everyone who's listening to this is able to join us. And this looks like it's going to be a two-part conversation, and it looks like it's also going to be very, very interesting. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Sebi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so very much.
I would like to let you start by sort of telling us your story from the beginning. I'm interested sort of in where you are now because I've heard a lot about you over the years, but sort of starting from the beginning and if you could just maybe before you do that for people who don't know, you give an introduction and sort of an overview.
Thank you. Quick, I was born in Spanish Honduras in the year of 1933. I was born in a small village named Milanga,
The boy grew up, never going to school, whether kindergarten, high school, grade school, or whatever. Became a merchant seaman. But by the time he became a merchant seaman, he was very deadly ill. He had diabetes. He had asthma from birth. He was impotent at 28. And at 30, he had diabetes, asthma, obesity, and insanity. And with the help of Mexican people, I was cured. I decided to enter the field of natural medicine.
Can I interrupt you for a quick second?
Of course.
I'm sorry. When you started off, you were referring to yourself in the third person, and you switched to the first person. Do you see who you were earlier in your life as sort of a different person, as though you've sort of become yourself in the second half of your life?
I was always a different person. I disagree with everything. I disagree with everything. Everything I heard, I disagreed with.
Right.
And I was 14 years of age when I said I was going to work. I was working since I was 11 because my grandmother raised me. And she was my responsibility to take care of paying the rent, buying her clothes, buying her food. So, but I was tall and I was very, I suppose, sensible. So I just grew up, and at 14, I made a statement that I was going to do something to help humanity. But when I made that statement, I also knew that I was going to come up against the established or prevailing philosophy of life. That I knew at 14 years of age. But I didn't know that one day that I would become the person that I'm known for today as being the healer. I didn't know that. But even when before I became the healer, you know, I didn't have a girlfriend until I was 21 because I disagreed with what I saw. And even now, my interrelationship with women, I don't believe that there is a woman that could rightfully say that they love me because of the way that I live and the way that I see things. And I'm not really upset or bothered by that. But I live different. I see different. I feel different. And I don't like to share that with most people because it is so far away. You know, you don't want to disturb anyone. But when even the healing that I bring to the world, look at that. When my very first patient, I was a steam engineer working for the county of Los Angeles. And this blind man had heard that I was experimenting with these plants. And his neighbor said, well, why don't you take it? And he took the plants, and in 2 days he was seeing. And he was blind for 11 years. That shook me, because I couldn't explain to the world the mechanics behind this blind man seeing.
What were your thoughts when you formulated
the compound?
Right.
The way that the compounds came into existence,
mm-hmm.
being a steam engineer,
mm-hmm.
I knew
mm-hmm.
that the pH value, the pH factor,
mm-hmm.
had a lot to do with healing. And the herbalists then, like the herbalists today, are unaware that the pH factor has a lot to do with it. Meaning this, I said that if God tell us that the herbs are for the healing of the nation,
mm-hmm.
in the book of Genesis, in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Exodus, and the book of Revelation, it says that the herbs are for the healing of the nation. Then as I go further into the history of medicine, this is what I found, that the great Hippocrates used herbs to cure disease, and that he cured every disease known to man. This man was curing every disease in Greece 365 years before Christ was even born. So when people tell us that only Jesus healed, you remind them that Hippocrates was here long before he was born, 300 years. So I said, if Jesus cured with herbs, Hippocrates cured with herbs, and God said the herbs, then what's up? Why aren't we curing with herbs today?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, one day when I went to work, my wife and I was talking all night. We were engaged in this conversation about these herbs. So my aunt said to me that there could be something locked someplace that prevents us from accomplishing the goals that Jesus Christ and Hippocrates accomplished. When I went to work that night, I found it. I laughed. Oh, I was so happy. I was extremely happy because I said, it is required of us to maintain the pH at 6.9. At 7, which is the neutral zone, pH of 7 is neutral. And if it is slightly on the acid side, it's 6.9. And the reason why we maintain the pH at 6.9 is to keep the tubes of the boiler clean, that there will be no life form in there. But if the pH is 7.1, oh, now you're going to experience life.
Mm-hmm.
Life form will begin to accumulate in the tubes of the boiler, preventing the radiant heat or the convection heat from reaching the tubes. I said that if life was so powerful that it could exist in a temperature of 450 degrees, then the herbs that heal would have to be alkali on 7 plus instead of acid 6.9. Then I begin to check the pH of all the herbs. I begin to test it. I test comfrey, acid. I test garlic, acid. I also tested aloe vera, St. John wort, rose hips, comfrey. All of these things are very acid. Carrot juice is extremely acid. Yet, the healers in New York, then and now, are still recommending these acid foods.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, let me investigate further to see which are the alkali herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I begin to see that burdock, yellow dock, also the elderberry,
mm-hmm.
these are alkali plants. Also the Virginia snake root, that's alkali. One has to know the herbs that are alkali opposed to the herbs that are acid. This today is not really considered, nor do they follow that particular, you know, road or understanding. Because the herbalists of today are recommending peppermint. Peppermint is very acid.
Mm-hmm.
Peppermint freezes the brain. Some even recommend peppermint oil. Peppermint oil is extremely caustic.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have this kind of information in front of us being disseminated and carried out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's confusion in the population. But the one thing that my supporters or the people that helped me, that counseled me, they said to me, Sebi, the one thing that you have in your favor is that you have cure and you are curing the diseases that others are not curing. So that is the barometer that tells us that the acid herb that they're using prevent them from reaching the goal that they're pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
It was my steam engineering experience that helped me in herbology to understand the herb that God made. Yes, it has to be made by God. If we eat something that God didn't make, we are running the risk of disease. Then we're going to be angry. Like I were at only 30 years of age, I was extremely angry.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know that I would. My mother wanted me to be a preacher. And I didn't want to go into the church. I said, who, me be a preacher? No, I'm not going to be a preacher.
Mm.
And look what I'm doing now.
Mm.
Look what I'm doing. My mother, I called her on my birthday 2 days ago, and she was laughing. She was laughing. She said, you see, what I wanted you to do, what I see you doing, you're doing it. Only because people are being healed.
Mm.
That is the work of a shepherd.
So if we were to sort of go back and trace everything, as a young man, you had a sense that you would heal people. You didn't know quite how you would do it. You went through to become a young man in your early 20s, and you were still unhealthy yourself, but you started to look into herbs.
No, I didn't look into herbs in my 20s. I didn't know anything about herbs in my 20s.
No.
I made a statement at 14
mm-hmm.
that I was going to do something
right.
to help humanity.
Right.
But I didn't know it was going to turn out to be these herbs.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was sick,
mm-hmm.
I was 30.
Okay.
And I got the help from the Mexicans that helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I proceed to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working as a steam engineer at the time that I, every day I would go to work, and God would talk to me and said, how could you be healed of all those dreadful diseases, and you're going to hold that from humanity? And I would go to work, and I would see these turbines and these condensers and these boilers, and I would get so angry. And that was when I stepped up my research.
You see these boilers, what would make you angry about them?
Because I want to get away from them, because I want to go into the herbs.
Okay.
But I was then 47 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
I was 47.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 10 years on the job, seniority.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a wife and two babies and one on the way, and I quit my job. God said, you're going to quit. If you're going to starve, you're going to die starving, but you're going to quit this job.
Mm-hmm.
And I left. And I was put in jail, and you know, all the whole bit that happened to me in New York. I was arrested in St. Martin one night. I was taken to jail in Curacao. Oh, it's been a journey, but it's been nice because it was like a test.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being down to only $400. When I started this business, I only had $400.
Mm-hmm.
I started this healing journey with $400. And here I am today, a little girl in New York named Hadja that was brought to us with a hole in her heart. She's now 16. A little girl was brought to me in Atlanta that was blind from age 8 to age 11 with a tumor on her frontal lobe. She no longer have the tumor on her frontal lobe. Her name is Mecca. And there's a little girl in Minnesota. Her name is Akilah Stroud. She no longer has sickle cell anemia. And a month ago, I gave a lecture in New York, and a young lady came forth and said, well, I don't have lupus anymore. So these kinds of things tells us that we, the black race, has the answer to the world's health. We have the answer to their disease state.
Mm-hmm.
But we are afraid to take that responsibility, because we live in fear. We fear, we're scared of white man, we're scared of God. We say that we fear God. I don't know why people fear God.
Now, is it possible for one group to have the cures for the world? Because part of your philosophy, part of your outlook or your belief is that people are at their healthiest when they're eating foods that come from the region of their ethnic origin.
That's not happening.
Right, but that's what you believe.
No, I don't believe that either. What I believe is to eat food
mm-hmm.
that came out of the product of life itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whether you're Chinese, Eskimo, Arab, or what. If you eat something natural,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be healed.
But do you believe that people, for instance, that black people should not eat foods that are...
Oh, no, that's a horse of a different color. Black people should not eat Chinese food. Because Chinese food, or even Caucasian food...
Uh-huh.
There is a book out by a man known as Pablo Arriola, and he is known to be one of the most distinguished nutritionists in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that if your ancestors are from Africa...
Mm-hmm.
Your body is not programmed to digest milk.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are European, yes. So right there, they're telling us that there's a difference in the genetical makeup of these two individuals.
So if people have a different genetic makeup that makes them react differently to different herbs, products, foods, would it be possible for one group to have sort of a cure for the entire world, or would they be moving towards a cure for people within the same ethnic group?
Well, it should be like that, I suppose. But our experience shows us
that it crosses all lines.
That it crosses all boundaries. Because
mm-hmm.
people come to us. There was once upon a time when there were more white people coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese come to us. Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
I just said that Matun just killed a woman in Japan of lung cancer, and she never seen the woman. They called from Japan and told Matun, like Annette, have cured many. Matun have cured many, so it's Atanisha. And they have never seen these people. She sent them the compound to Japan, and she was cured.
Mm-hmm.
We sent compound to Europe, and they were cured. I have a letter from a psychiatric group in France who want me to go and lecture to them. Why? Because someone with schizophrenia was cured that they know about.
Mm-hmm.
So these compounds cured everyone, whether you're black, white, Chinese, or Eskimo,
mm-hmm.
providing they are natural. But the substance that you're going to eat as a staple,
mm-hmm.
yes, mm-hmm. I agree with you. You are 100% right. It has to be something that is genetically consistent with you.
Okay. Now, I wasn't saying that, and I'm not saying that either, because I don't know it. It's something I'm asking you about.
But you did. It was good.
I've heard that you said that.
Yes, but it was correct.
Okay.
It's apropos.
Okay. I'd like to hear a little bit about that in terms of people and the relationship between a staple diet and where your ancestors
okay.
are from.
We're going to give you an example. A good example. From the day that God created this universe
uh-huh.
and made black people, how many years it has been since God placed black people in Africa? Do you have any idea? The anthropologist has no idea, but it would spout out these numbers for you
mm-hmm.
that God made the universe 9.5 billion years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the other is, when did he put black people in Africa? They say 1.5 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the food that God placed in Africa for these people? Certainly, it could not have been potatoes. It could not have been rice or beans or yams or chicken or hogs or cows. It could not be a goat or a lamb, because all these things are hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
God did not make these things. These things came just recently, only 4,000 years ago. So what were we eating in Africa before we were taken away? What were we eating in Africa before there was an invasion by the man from Europe? We simply do not know.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because we are unaware of this diet that God made specifically for us. This is why we're angry today and we're so divided. Everybody's laughing at us. They're laughing more at me. On the airplane, the pilots came to see me a few weeks ago when I was in a plane before 9-1-1, and they were looking at the brochure they had that says that AIDS has been cured, and herbalists cure AIDS, and the Supreme Court of New York cannot deny, can't disagree. They were laughing at me. Why? Because you are not supporting me. So they think that I'm a fake. Because if it was a white man curing AIDS, the captain said, the whole white race would be supporting them, but my race is not going to support me. The leaders of America can't do it. Farrakhan can't do it. Jesse Jackson can't do it. Because they were not designed to do this kind of work. They were designed to lobby and to talk and to, like Mr. Al Sharpton, he likes to make people march. That's cool. But we got a job to do in healing the black race now. That comes in a different category. Those leaders cannot help me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm vulnerable.
In what ways is the black race in need of healing?
In what way?
Ways. Is
that the black race need healing?
Mm-hmm.
One of the areas that the black race need healing mostly is in the central nerve system
mm-hmm.
because we have been eating acid food for 400 years.
And how does that manifest itself in terms of
socially,
physically, and
physically?
What's the damage that
okay socially we see? That very seldom our leaders agree with their own selves. The leaders are at war.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in disagreement, because among the leaders you find Muslims, you find Christian, you find Buddhist, you find all of that. And they all seem to disagree with each other's position.
Mm-hmm.
The politician, well, I don't know what role politics play in our progression, health state.
Mm-hmm.
How we see it, again, is that we are not together on any issue that is pragmatic, that's going to elevate us in producing something for our own existence. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. And we are the only people on the planet that denies that.
Okay, so I guess there are a few things I want to pull out of what you just said. The first one is a relationship between diet and behavior.
Mm-hmm. Diet and behavior has a direct their relationship.
Okay, and then that this is affecting black Americans in a particular way. so that it's something you can see throughout our community. And would the difference be that Black Americans are not in their sort of original like homeland, and so that would be why there'd be a greater problem for Black Americans?
Temperature and food.
Temperature and food.
But not so much as the African. Do you know that Black America, on the scale from 1 to 10,
mm-hmm.
if we are to be perfect at 10, Black America is about 5, Africa is about 2. Black America is closer to the goal than Africa.
Are you talking about food or diet? I mean diet or behavior?
Diet and behavior.
Okay.
Because if a young man in California is in love with you, that you met, he's not going to ask you what tribe are you a member of, right? No, you're not.
Right.
But in Africa, if you are Susu and I'm a Malenke, I'm not going to marry you. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be your enemy. But they're both Black. You see?
Mm-hmm.
In America, the brother's not going to ask you what tribe you're a member of. He's going to marry you because he likes you. Right? And you with him. That's only one.
But do you think that being concerned about the tribe a person is from means that you, them, and any of your offspring will always be linked, at least in traditional society, will be linked to a certain geographic region, and you won't have the problem that you described of being sort of removed from the area where
vegetation okay, that
is
would be good.
Adapted for.
That would be good, and I agree with you. But there's one other part of it,
mm-hmm.
is that the African people are eating a food that is so detrimental that you didn't have. And see, the African people is eating cassava.
Mm-hmm.
Cassava is cyanide, pure cyanide, unadulterated. You didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And because you didn't have the cyanide, you were able to produce plastics. You were able to produce rubber. You were able to build the White House. You were able to produce electricity. You were able to produce agriculture. The African men. And no other Black man in the world has ever done that. That shows that Black America, even though taken away from motherland and given meat, which is responsible for our anger,
mm-hmm.
we are still able to do things that is over and above any other race in the world. The Black race has proven that. And now that another one comes, your brother and servant, Dr. Sebi, it is not so surprising that he's curing AIDS and sickle cell. You know something? Curing AIDS is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Curing sickle cell is like play for me. Diabetes, we cure 10 a month. Yet, there aren't any centers in Germany that is beset with diabetes. There aren't centers in the United States that cure diabetes. We cure diabetes. Now, what are we going to do now? I would like to hear the excuse. I would like for someone to take this particular entity
mm-hmm.
to the leaders of America, and I would like to hear the excuse that they're going to give us
mm-hmm.
for not supporting it.
Okay. Well, I think what you just said will actually bring us to our next discussion. We're going to need to close this up. But I think what we'll be talking about next is your struggles here in New York in terms of being recognized for your work and having some acknowledgement for your healing. So thank you for this. Went by so quickly, it felt like it's just been a minute, but that's okay, because we'll be talking again. So thank you for joining us, and this has been another episode of Ramona's Roundtable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So at the OSHA research, first, we wanted to know what was disease. What is disease? Because it seemed to be misinterpreted. Everyone is talking about departmentalizing or individualizing disease. When you have diabetes, it's different from having leukemia. When you have sickle cell anemia, most certainly it's not like leukemia. They're different. When they are not, they've never been different. They're coming from the same source. The mucous membrane of our biological structure has been compromised, meaning that the mucous membrane has been broken. And wherever that broke has taken place, that break has taken place, would determine the disease that you would manifest. Like, for instance, like we always say, If the mucous membrane has been compromised in the nasal passages, it is what? Sinusitis. In the bronchial tubes, bronchitis. On the lungs, pneumonia. In the pancreas, diabetes. On the brain, schizophrenia, paranoia, or Parkinson's disease, insomnia, depending where the mucus is located. So we took the position, and we maintained that position, that there is only one disease manifesting in 1,000 different ways, the compromising of the mucous membrane. So that led Ma'a and I to think about not only addressing to one part of the body, but to address the total body, because the body is all interconnected and interrelated. We can't treat one side without the other. So we say, just go for it. An intracellular cleansing. Self-explanatory. Cleaning every cell that makes up every organ and system that totals the biological you. Meaning cleaning all of you. Not only your colon, like many have decided to do, to concentrate on the colon. No. We concentrate on the whole human body. Cleansing the human body is only but one part of the whole journey. The other is bringing back the energy that was lost by the presence of disease. That energy is supported by minerals. Live minerals. Phosphate of iron, phosphate of calcium, and phosphate of everything that we're going to use would have to be phosphate. Why? Because they, and they alone, are electrical. So as we recommend the intracellular cleansing, we know that the person in question, patient or client, has suffered the loss of energy by the presence of such disease. So, apart from part one, which is the cleansing, now we have to revitalize the system because it has been weakened. We can't select comfrey and golden seal, aloe vera, peppermint, Echinacea. No. We have to go to Kalawala. We have to go to Contrivo. We have to go to Cordoncillo Negro. And we have to go to the one that I favor most of all, the Pavana. Now we are talking about electric herbs for an electric body. After we selected these plants, these electrical plants, we made these compounds. In administering these plants, these compounds, we see that immediately, in less than 24 hours, our patient is saying, I am already feeling the effect of these medicines or this food. Why? Because they are electrical. So, there is an intracellular cleansing and the revitalizing of the same.
Whether in the liver, whether in the lungs, whether anywhere in the body. So that's all we do, is to cleanse the system and to allow the system to be rebuilt. But in the allopathic philosophy, which is the European medicine, it is to do what? Make pills out of inorganic substance and give you, but the cause of disease is still in you. So you see, isn't that difficult? But it is difficult for them. And now it makes it even more difficult, because the whole society, the whole American government, depends on those chemical laboratories with huge amounts of money. And a black people is going to come and invent medicine from herbs, deprive them of all those billions? Now, you know it takes more than a nerve to stand up against the world and take such a position. But it is necessary. Because my life was at stake. Remember, I was impotent. I was diabetic. I was asthmatic. I was hypertensive. And I was obese. I went to all the doctors. Now what happened? He was a book reader. That's what happened. He read books. See, life doesn't come out of a book. A book is a violation of life. Just to create a book, you have to cut trees down. There's the violation. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. If Sebi, who was arrested a day before I was upon the testified in the course of the United States, downtown Brooklyn, Supreme Court, the attorney general sent a message to me and said, if I take a misdemeanor, that he would drop all charges. What was he saying to you? Not to me, but to you. He didn't give a damn about you.
That's right.
If I had done that, you wouldn't hear my mouth today. I said, no, this is fisticuffs, lose, win or lose. Because my people are at stake, my race, myself, my being, my family. And I'm supposed to take that. It's like me going to a Caucasian and ask them to stop being Caucasian. That's an imposition. Or to have the Caucasian race to implement in their world things that belong to our world. That's an imposition. That's a violation. Due respect. We learn to be obedient. A zebra does not ask a horata, how come you don't have stripes? Nature made him with stripes. It did not make a horata with stripes. But they're both equitable. See, we have to begin to understand what it is to be different. Not better, not worse, not superior, not inferior, because you're not inferior to anyone. We just happen to play a unique role, a role that I will explain right now. A bird or plant, you go to get what mineral?
Iron.
You see? Iron. Sure. Meaning that the predominant mineral is iron. But then we go to the dandelion. Or just take the shade grass. Shade grass. What'd you go to that for? Calcium. It's coated to ingest calcium. So the black race is coated the same way as the plants. Look at the eagle. It eats meat. Not the quetzal. Doesn't eat meat. It eats seeds because it's coated. The flower of the burdock is what? Red, purple, and white. But that of the dandelion is what? You see? But which one is better? They both serve their purpose. So what is this thing about? I have to measure up to a white man. Man, I've got to measure up to nature.
Right.
I'm better. So right now, we happen to have the ingredients that would maintain harmony and peace on the planet. The black race. Why? Because we hear that the Japanese have the best cars, right? They make the best cars and the best cameras. Well, what do we make? We make the best medicine in the world. The black race again. You see? When we thought that we had nothing to offer, we have the best medicine. We cure AIDS. So who does the world have to depend on now to cure the diseases? The black race.
separate me from you and say that man over there said be pureed, then you know what you just did? Condemn yourself. You have just condemned yourself because I'm you. But look what it would do if we all were to come together and say, well, hold it there now. Since these people at Usha is curing AIDS, is it our duty? Is it our duty to support that entity? Not me. You're not supporting me. Because hey, I have a piece of land in Honduras that bears you have seen. All I have to do is go sit down on it and drink the water and plant my stuff and sit there. You can't hurt me. But if you negate this entity today and walk up with criticism, just remember that the criticism is not on us. It's on you. Because there are many people in this. I'm going to show you something. Annette told me one day of a lady here in Harlem that was very sick. And I went to see her somewhere in Harlem. She's in a bed, can't get up. I gave her the compounds. It took me $25 in the cab to get there, $25 back, or $20 back, which was 40. And my compound, she said to me, how much I owe you? I said, you owe me $250. She said, well, I'm on a fixed income. All I have is five. I said, I know you're right, but I don't want your $5 because you need that $5 more than me. But how many of these ladies are in Harlem?
All
right. Yeah. Are we going to render them useless like the Caucasian has done? All they need is life again, you know. And they need our service. Because the cheese and the chemicals are not going to help those people.
Right.
They are our responsibility. Those of us that are healthy, they are our responsibility. You understand? Because when we get old, we will need you too.
Right.
We will need each other. So how do we rectify this? So I didn't come here to talk about AIDS, because you see how quick we talk about it? How do you cure AIDS? You see what I'm talking about? It took 2 minutes for at the call of figures. 2 minutes. But NYU have libraries bigger than the building that I occupy to cure AIDS out of. Books on medicine that would, look, it's within this room. And it's still doing research, but in 2 minutes here, we, the son of those African people. African people. I hate to call them that, because I don't need to deal with that, but our parents from that continent, that they call Africa.
Right.
We are their children. So if with 400 years of eating meat, and eating cheese, and eating salt, we are able to cure AIDS after 400 years of violation? I mean, look, we have got to be some kind of monsters, isn't it? So we are doing that, the black race. So we have to get back on the business of taking care of ourselves the way we always have. We always did. Nobody could take care of us better than we can. Who could do that? Why would we even put that responsibility on someone else? Why would we even entertain that? I mean, that's a violation. Look at what you're doing. Look at what you are doing. Expressing the Caucasian to help you in your health state? Like these days I'm talking about in Harlem who are sick, who need our help and don't have any money? So how do we rectify that? How do we do that? It's only me and my wife, Annette and Lori and a few others. Marjorie and Judy and few more, just few people have taken on the whole weight of this thing. We made efforts, you know. We made efforts to come to you. But those of us who are representing the white entity deprive you of hearing what I have to say. Like, for instance, I was in Harlem and it was Dr. Prince and Dr. Justice. And they were talking about something that really didn't make sense. They was talking how they were going to make it easier for the AIDS patient to die. You know what I did? I just couldn't take that, because that's when my arrogance comes out. I came up and I said, Ladies and gentlemen, just stop it. I curate. Everybody did this. And yes, and so and so and so and so.
I said, oh no.
Is this really serious? Are you really serious? I just told these brothers and this sister that I curate. And they write off like nothing was said.
After the case was won in the Supreme Court,
Dr. Justice called. Dr. Prince, she called. How I was supposed to feel after what she did?
You mean to tell me that the white man has to legitimize what is our ancestor for you to accept it? Is that, is really that? I mean, wait, hold it now. If it's really that, then I'm in trouble. At least I'm yawning. How many are yawning with me? I'm just yawning. I'm not awake yet. Because there's a lot of things I need to do. And there's a lot of things I don't know.
But at least the little that we at the Usher family have developed and still developing has complemented a few blind folks who were seeing leukemia, sickle cell who doesn't have it anymore, lupus. Doesn't that deserve your support?
So today it's not about how we curate, because black folks always knew that. I met some of you in Louisiana and in Memphis, Tennessee, that know a million things more than I know, but they're just scared. You know, fear? Fear stops you at the door. You would not open that door. You see? And we found at the Usher Institute, the brothers of us who are part of members of it, found that the sisters are the one that really are the one with the tenacity. The sisters, the woman. Well, that's in the spirit.
I am the only male that is in the operation of this institute. I am the only male. They make the stuff. They direct the institute. Since I'm talking, and I'm sick of talking, because after you talk, and you talk about talking, then what? You know, I never like, look, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm just, this the God in heaven truth. I was never gravitated towards men like the war. Never. I would never deal with that. But men like George Washington Carver, yeah, that's the aspect.
About talking. Men like Booker T. Washington. Men like Gandhi. That's who I respect. About the other talkers and book readers.
I mean, we had enough of that, right?
That's right. I mean, I've been here for 35 years, and we have read all the books there is to read. But we still, after we read the book, we put the book on the shelf. But now we have some work to do. And the work that needs to be done is not in those books. Not one of them. They cheated us. They talk. I know I didn't spend my money. Because like I said, I didn't go to school and I don't read books. See, it costs too much money to occupy myself and my time with this stuff that didn't make sense. I have to do something. We have to do something. We have to heal ourselves. You don't get that in a book. Because if the healing that I'm doing was in a book, or the healing that the Usher Institute have arrived at now was in a book, wouldn't you have the book too? Well, you have the book. I mean, if it was in a book, I'd have to say, but go buy such and such a book. So it came out of what? A history, a people, a gene. Not a book. Not a book. It came out of you. Our mom. You understand? Our mom, our mother. And we're going to give that respect. So we hope that when you leave from here this evening, you would make it very simple to everyone else. What did Dr. Sabi talk about? He said that disease is removing mucus from the system. Well, that's all he said, yeah? All he said.
Now, you see, now we've done the basic, isn't it? And after we heal ourselves, all those things that we want to claim we are, that we want to exchange with one another, such as, I'm spiritual, holier than thou. cow for drinking carrot juice and eating pork chops. Or eating tofu. Tofu is worse than pork. Tofu is 100 times worse than pork. It's going to tear your membranes down immediately. Woman gets vaginal discharge immediately. If you don't believe me, go eat some. Go eat it! You see? We need you. We need you. And you need us. Like, you know how we felt when the African government of Uganda came and sit with us? I mean, that was like, wow. That is where you really feel your usefulness, isn't it? That you're useful to your family. You're not in the position of healing because it is something that you want to relish on. Because most people tell me that some people envy me. Well, I wish that I could find someone that I envy. In fact, I do envy a man. He's in St. Croix. He does know how to read and write, and he's very healthy. I wish that I didn't know how to read and write, because it said that I was less impregnated, isn't it? I was less molested. This man does not know how to read and write. And he don't even, when he receive a letter, he give it to someone. You want to read that for me? Tell me what it says. And he's not embarrassed. He's using you to read the garbage. Well, if it's garbage, it has to be read. So today, the lecture was not really on AIDS, wasn't it? It was showing where we are as a people. Whether we're Muslims, whether we're Christian, whether we're Buddhist, whether we're Chinto, we brothers and sisters came from the same gene of Africa, isn't it?
Right.
So we have to go back, and now we have the greatest gift. Remember what the prophecy said? That Joseph was taken to Egypt as a slave, and then he became the king? Well, I don't know if we want to be kings, isn't it? Because what does a king do anyway? Sit on a throne. I often wonder, when did it become necessary in the African chronology that we were supposed to be kings? You know, we hear people say, oh, but we were kings of Greece. But just a minute, just stop it. Here is a bunch of people made by nature, naked in the forest. As he said, naked, not natural, but without no clothes. His bars are hanging, and he's a king. Now, what is it that this king is going to do for us that we could not do for ourselves? So what in the hell are we talking about? The word king, that's not even black. That came out of Europe, isn't it? But we go around saying that we were kings and queens. What does a king do? I mean, I've never thought of, where it was useful, a king. At least as a healer, if we all become healers in here today, then we could all march back to Africa and say, just go heal mother.
Right.
And get out of it. I recently was talked to by two sisters about a king from Ashanti that came, and they said that they wanted me to come and see the king. I said, you want me to leave my office to go see this king? The man is bloated up. He's sick. I could look and tell his eyes were very puffy. He had diabetes. He was loaded with fluid. I said, that man, the only way he'd be healed by me is he'd crawl up these steps. You see, kings. I left from Brooklyn to see the lady in the bed. But she was no queen. She was just like me. The underdog. Kings, they crawl. Because they have not had any usefulness, not to you. All you could is talk about them. Say we have a stool, a golden stool, and he sits on it. A king now. Hey, king. Hey, he's the king. Say, B is the king. Now, say, B, what are you going to do? But I just have to sit on the throne and be a king. That's all I have to do, be a king. But what's the king? Where is the usefulness of a king? Does he provide you with food and shelter? No. He just stood as strong as a king. How did he get that? How we ask those questions? Just begin to ask those questions. Ask our anthropologists and ask, go back and ask the historians. How come they didn't talk about the food that we were supposed to be eating? How come he talked about what they were doing? How does he know that? Black people in Africa wouldn't do anything but waking up and going to sleep. So that's all was needed to be done. Wake up and go to sleep. Our body wasn't made to work. I mean, you. Many of you with your PhD degrees in your pocket would like to be in a situation where you only wake up to be yourself.
to maintain his faith and go and be in that fluorescent light. And you're going to drink out of the plastic bottle. And you're going to be suited down where your neck is really holding your face.
And this is supposed to be what? An advancement from that position? But look at the state of our bodies now. We all are sick and divided. We do not have even the capacity to love. That only comes with health. When we are healthy, now we could embrace. Right?
That's right.
So we're going to heal each other now. Today was about healing, not with herbs alone, because healing is encompassing everything about the individual.
That's right.
I mean, we need love. We need all the love that we could muster up. I know how nice it is because I make myself available for it. Because it's nice. It's nice to be loved. Well, if it is nice to be loved, how do you think the other person feels? Why not give him that? It makes you feel good. Maybe one day when you give him a little bit now, he may come back and return that to you tomorrow.
That's right.
But again, to be in the state of wanting to love or having the capacity to love, we have to be healthy. So, to begin with, as black people, we have to abstain from the food that we have been conditioned to eat. Stop as much of it right now. I was the recipient of some that you were not. I ate cassava, some that the African people eat. Your American brothers and sisters who were born here don't know what cassava is. No, you don't know. It has arsenic. Mm-hmm. It's very starchy. It would affect your brain immediately. When I was a child, 15, I had very violent headaches. It meant that a tumor was growing in my head. And when I began to cleanse, I felt the same headache telling me it was leaving. All of us have that tumor. Every black person in this room has that tumor if you have not cleansed. Don't even be scared. It's the truth. You have a tumor in your brain, and they were quite aware of it. This is what prevented us from coming together. This is what prevented us from supporting Usha. I mean, Usha did not come to do something that was needed. Usha is curing AIDS, diabetes, and lupus, and blindness, and all the other diseases. Isn't that what we need?
Yes.
Isn't that what we need to see our grandmothers healthy and strong again?
Yes.
So what prevents the community from embracing and helping Usha? What? That tumor.
Yeah.
That tumor. That tumor. Where Annette and I went to New Orleans, and these white people treat us with royalty. Like royalty, I mean. They recognized what we had because she saw him in a Tony Brown journal. But in New York, I used to get stones thrown at me. But I understood. Not because the Caucasian people give me that particular privilege and that kind of environment. I am still the son of Africa. And they come first. But I have to wait a little bit longer because, like I said, if 10 men go to sleep and one wakes up at 5 in the morning and the others are still sleeping, the best he could do is wait for those to wake up. Because if he tries to go and wake this one up over here, what's wrong with you? I'm still asleep, can't you see? So we cannot curse him because he's asleep. So we just have to unite all of us that are yawning, come together and begin the process of helping those that are still asleep. That is our duty. Those of us that are waking up, begin to do things that would compliment those that are still asleep. But instead we curse him. We call him dead. We call him asleep. Yes, he's asleep. But what are you doing in your awake state? Nothing. So let us do something now. Let us come together and further this healing process because it is grossly needed all over the world, not only in the black race, but in the whole human race. Healing is necessary. And we have that responsibility because we know that they don't know what they're doing. You know how old medicine been here? How long? It's been here for 253 years. They're not curing AIDS or sickle cell or diabetes. No, they're not. So what are they saying to us? They just can't do it. So now that your brothers and your sisters, that Usha is doing it, is it time for criticism?
No.
No, you can criticize us, I said. But what help would that be? We have no help. We have proven to the courts. We have proven to you in the community. All of you who have sent people to the Usher family. They all said what?
They did.
That's right. That they did good. And they will do good. The Uganda government came and took some compounds and took it to a lady that had AIDS. And they came back and said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Dr. Sidney, she's up and she was out. She was waiting to die. And she's up and she's talking the telephone and she's doing everything. She's going to the bathroom by herself. And she's doing that. Now, I didn't feel like it was a miracle, right? Because I just showed you how it was done. So I didn't feel like I deserved that, you know, that kind of a, you know, just to save me. And I don't like that. I never liked that position in which you gave me that kind of reverence, because I don't deserve that, because I'm not doing something that you can't do and do it better. It's just that it has been removed from us so long that when it happens, then you want to give that person all kind of credit, and then you throw them off the rhythm. Because now that person that killed us becomes what?
Swell-headed.
Well, that's what happened. The reason why it is difficult for me to become swell-headed, because see, I like to walk bare feet, and I like to go in the river and bathe. I like to laugh. I like to scream. See, I like those things. Those things make me happy. And I told the family of Usher at the ending of this year, I would divorce myself totally from being in front of you talking, because I don't like this. It's an imposition on you. It is. It's really an imposition on you for your brother to come and talk to you. Then what is saying about you? Where's your head? That your brother knows it or not, you will need you. No, it's an imposition. So let us all rise together. Not the Usher family alone. No. So don't come here waiting for a big surprise. Oh, we're going to hear how AIDS is cured from a biochemical or chemical perspective. No, it's all garbage. The judge said to me when I was talking about how we cure AIDS at Usher, she said, Dr. Sebi, you make it sound so simple. I said, but man, everything is simple. Everything is simple. Those things that are of consequence, they are very simple. They're very easy. You see, I never heard this before. I say, I know that. Because the African people have not stepped in to world society and represent themselves as far as pathology and nutrition is concerned. But now, here it is. The African bio-mineral balances in the archives of the Court of the United States. Okay. So, in ending, on this lecture, I want to say to you that I more than appreciate all these faces I see here. You know, I more than appreciate that, because the time has come in which we must come together, at least in healing. And remember that in healing, the one thing you will always remember is that love comes out of you for everyone. For everyone. You know, like we still hear racism. White hate black. Black hate white. That's fine. We have our journey. Our journey was always one to give love. I don't know if we're going to be as careless now to allow the foreigners to tell us what to do and allow them to infiltrate in whatever way and destroy our little thing, but it is about loving everybody, including your enemy. Sure it is true. Because in loving your enemy, you feel no pain. When you hate your enemy, only one person feels pain. At the ending of every talk, there's always the best part of the lecture, the question and answer. Please, don't reserve your question. Feel free to ask whatever question you want to ask, because this evening, it is family, isn't it?
Right.
And aren't we supposed to hash out those things that need to be hashed this evening? Are we going to leave from here with the same empty-headedness that we left in other lectures? No, we're going to do something now. We may even devise a way in which we could see how we could collect $1, just $1,
I'm going to show you all something very simple. $1. Suppose all of us in America gave $1 to the Boucher family. You know how many dollars that is? That's about $40 million, isn't it? I mean, behave yourself. $40 million? It may be even more than that, isn't it? So let us say $40 million. Just say $75 million, $60 million. Just say $50 million. And we use $5 million to buy a building, or two or three of them in various big cities. That's only $20 million. And the other $20 million we invest in entities that would provide the herbs that we could heal everybody in our community.
Yes, sir.
You see, just how much did it cost each brother?
$1.
Just $1. I mean, I wish I was Reverend Ike on you one day alone. I wish I could be that before. Just one day. To take your money. But when I like to take your money and give it back to you in a very nice way to see the smile on your face. See what we did with your money? Because you would be administering that money. But we want to use this $1. We serve our problem. I mean, we could do it in a big way. Just $1. Throughout the United States. So let us see how we could create a network. Throughout the United States, I just came back from Detroit. And it was a very sad story for me. I mean, I was in the middle of the NAACP annual convention. I took the brochure and I should have delegated. Very interesting. Yeah, okay. I got in touch with you. You know what he read? Where Miss Emma Wright had sickle cell, I no longer had it. And that's all he said. Then I found another one. He said, look, man, don't stop with that nonsense. If you were your age, damn it, you wouldn't be here talking to me. I said, thank you. Thank you very much. I stopped another one. I didn't stop. I stopped about 10 that day. I just want to hear it from their mouth. And everyone rejected me beautifully. The NAACP, the organization that championed itself. For being in the benefit of whom? First question over there, lady. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to ask a question. I have a heart problem, and I put together a message with me all the time. And also, I have low sugar. Can that be cured?
Most definitely. We have done it many times. Next question. Yes, sir.
Is it possible for me to join with you in this business?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a young lady here named Lori, who is the president. She's right behind you, see? That lady right there.
Miss
yeah.
Good.
She handles everything. Good. Yes, ma'am.
My sister has
well, ma'am, if AIDS is being cured, I feel that would be easier. No, in dealing with myeloma, what part of the body we're dealing with? Bone. And in dealing with bones, what is the mineral? So are we going to use the oxide calcium or the phosphate calcium from the plant? You see how small we are? We already became doctors in 5 seconds. Yes, yes, then I'm coming to you all. Oh, yeah.
I'd like for you to explain what you are.
Yeah. I used to like to do that, attempt to do that, but it goes on into a lengthy thing. The best way you can get that information is to call the Usha Institute or come down there and they will assist you, greatly assist you in giving you a list of things and explaining. In fact, we would like that if it is possible, among you and the family of Usha to get together, and then we would have a gathering in which we could show how to cook this food quick, very easy, nutritious, and it would not hurt you. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
You see, yes, ma'am.
Is fasting a part of the cleansing system?
Fasting is something that you would do gradually over a period of time. You would learn to fast, you would adjust yourself to fast. I'm doing it now. I have used all kinds of methods. One, I remember the first time I fast, I went on it for 94 days, nonstop. Didn't eat anything.
You know, it was 20 years later that I did that. I didn't even do that. 20 years later, I fasted for 28 days only. So I learned that in fasting, you have to learn to fast because the stomach has to readjust. If you fast suddenly and your stomach shrinks, the conditioning of the head will say, I got to fill this thing back up because it's still empty. But if you fast one day and eat another, fast one day and eat another, and take that for about 7 days, and then next month, and say, well, I'm going to fast for 2 days, I need 2 days, and then you go gradually, and then your stomach have a chance to be shrinking on you, slowly. And once it's shrunk, then the desire for food becomes minimal. I just talked to Mr. Lee. I was in trouble in Detroit this trip because month before last, I was in Detroit, where Martha Jean the Queen, how many of you know of that woman? Martha Jean the Queen, if you know her. She's a woman that is in Detroit that takes me there every month to see hundreds of people. And this one man impressed me very much, Mr. Lee. Oh, Mr. Lee is 87. Mr. Lee is about 6 feet tall and he's slim. And he dresses, he's sharp, and he's clean. And this man, oh God, this man just impressed me. I look at this man when he comes to see me. He said, good evening, young man. You thought to see me? I said, yes, sir. Well, I'm Mr. Lee. But Mr. Lee is a tough man. So Mr. Lee is 87. And he doesn't wear glasses, and he can read and write very nice. Mr. Lee said to me, well, young man, you know, I have a woman, but I want another one. So I want you to help me with these compounds and use because I want another woman. You see, this other woman is very nice, and I don't want to deprive her. She's very nice, and I want to, you know, be with her, but I have this one here that I love very much, but are you going to help me or not? I mean, I'll help you. So when I went back to see this time, I went back to Detroit. There is Mr. Lee. But I couldn't help it. Mr. Lee was in a group of people. I said, Mr. Lee! Said, you remember me, right? I said, yeah. Mr. Lee's sister was angry with me because I gave him all of my attention and didn't give her any. But Mr. Mm-hmm. Lee is a very impressionable man. He is very strong. Our sister came and said to Mr. Lee, are you married? Mr. Lee said, yes, I'm married. Not very much so. This man is, you know, so that was the trouble I got in. Just sit the jump all over me and crazy. Yes, sir.
Yes. What I'm going to say is based on the observation I have recently, just like the European had their several down recent religious nations, and that one, Africa, is included in that.
I noticed it.
Yes. So what I want to do is address the answer to some of us who might not understand what's going on, because like here we try to get together and then some of us bring somebody else who knows who might us to get it.
Well, there is no reason why a Japanese or a white man shouldn't be here. There should be reason, but in us constructing, no, we can't construct with their philosophy or their presence, no. Because we have to separate ourselves. Everything was made separate. Everything is different, you know. You see, they tell us that we're one, right? But is that true?
No.
You see? I mean, damn, if you put me next to a Norwegian.
Man, you
know they're different. Man, what was this? That we are one. We're just different. Not that the Norwegian is less than me. Because I've been to Norway many, many times, and I have been to Russia. I've been all over Europe. But I never find it necessary to relinquish and to compromise my blackness, but I never found it necessary to offend them either. Because I don't want to be offended. So, as hip enough to come together, you know, we've been doing that for 35 years since I've been here, coming together around what? There have been no coming together in America in 35 years around an entity that's going to protect us, that's going to feed us and compliment us. He was always around philosophy. But I don't get around that. That's why I don't have friends that entertain that junk. Next question. Right here. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
I would like to know how long the cleaning process takes. I have asthma.
When I was an asthmatic, for 28, 29 years, Miss Mildred Jones, that just spoke about, Miss Mildred Jones, she had a machine. She was worse than you. And in a half an hour or 50 minutes, she took the machine out of her nose. But I want to say this. That have to be very, very carefully understood. I had two people that died after they came to see me at the Usher family last year, or this year. Young woman too, with asthma. She came and she took the compound and she was feeling very good, but she didn't come back because asthmatic people do that. I did it too. Once that wheezing stops and that breathing becomes good, we don't want to take the substance anymore. No. The mucus is in the head. Like I said, every one of us have a tumor. And it breaks down. And you find that you're swallowing. Many of you felt that you're swallowing mucus sometimes, draining down your ear, you know? It's coming down from this big head. You know, the cheese and the cow. This lady, this young sister, told me that she was only eating the food that I recommended. And in the selection of these foods, broccoli was one. As a steam engineer, I learned to understand chemicals. I'm a steam engineer. I learned that not by going to school for it, because you heard me say I didn't go to school. I learned it on the ship. I was a wiper, which is a janitor. I wiped myself to a fireman and water tender, to a junior engineer, to an engineer, on the job training. So while on the ship, it was my duty at one point in my journey as a engineer to scavenge the oxygen out of the boilers. That's the first thing a steam engineer has to learn to do. To put sulfite in the feed water that it would go in the tubes of the boiler and scavenge out all the oxygen. If there's any degree of oxygen over and above, just, I would say, oxygen in content would be like only 0.1% of the water. Because oxygen would cause spitting in the tubes. Erosion. So you put sulfite in the water and it removed oxygen from that water. And now you would never have to suffer spitting in the tubes. But when I would open a barrel, I had to open the barrel and stand away. If I stand over the barrel when I open it, that's how fast it would react. So what are they spraying the vegetables with now to make it look young? I'm impressed. And this lady has asthma. And she comes to me. She begins to feel good. But I recommend that she eat only green things, and she chooses the broccoli. And when she eats the broccoli, now she called me about 1 hour before that. This happened to me. It's dangerous out there. It's very dangerous. You see, with that $1, we could go back to North Carolina and tell the brothers that have all this land that isn't growing anything, those fellas. Yeah. We want you to grow organically grown food for us. Without the sulfite and insecticide and the pesticide, because she's in trouble. This is in trouble. We're not taking care of business. We've been talking. We've been talking. Because those who came to us was talking about talking. Talking about Egypt. Talking about what took place in Songhe. What the hell are you going to do with that now? Okay, think you're bad, do something with that. Nothing. You walk out ahead and go do something what the Egyptians were doing. Back 5,000-6,000 years ago. Go do that. I want to see how good it's going to be. But if we do what we just recommended, each of us give $1 and we start, go back in the soil and grow in the food for these children, because they're us. And if our health is being compromised now, worse for them. Well, Brother Sonny Carson is seeking right now to change the food in the schools. Now, doesn't that sound good? Isn't that a worthy cause? Instead of marching in the streets about what
Yes, sir.
Just people come to you, you have identified illnesses like asthma or AIDS or whatever. What can we do here? Say, I don't know what I may have yet, but what can we do here today to start the process?
Well, when this man, Martin, came to see me, Martin didn't have no disease. Martin is right there. This big head man in front of you, the man is raising his hand. Martin didn't have any disease, but Martin wanted to feel good. Wanted to feel, you know, the energy back. Well, all you have to do is come and we study the packages and you would revitalize again, be revitalized again. Yes, sir.
I want to ask you about the cow. You said that's a hybrid animal?
The cow is a hybrid animal, true hybridization.
Between one
and one. I crossed between a yak and a buffalo. It's not natural. So I don't know when the Bible talked about Abraham that was killing and dressed the calf. I don't know what they were talking about because this cow is new. You see, how do you know what is natural? I'm going to show you guys a very beautiful case. I wish I had a blackboard that this thing could go off into something very nice. But we're going to use this line. This line here. This line at the center. This line at the center would be number 7 for neutral and pH. Anybody know pH is? The pH of 7 is what? Neutral. It's 0. Anything to our right, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 is alkaline.